Everybody, it looks like she is speaking my language. Gonna stay right here with each and every one of you. So very honored to be able to do this show I don't know if you guys know this or not, but once every couple weeks, I sit down with a Christian counselor or therapist. And I almost wish I would have done this a couple years ago, because this job has taken a toll on me like no other job. Now, not Rise Up. Rise Up is a blessing, a guide, a moral compass, a correction tool, and a way to be closer to God. But Live from America and running this network, not because of the amount of work, I'm okay with that, but because of the information and the investigative work that we do here, you can't get rid of it. So when you're reporting day in and day out about disaster and catastrophe, from politics to natural disasters to murders to rapes to trafficking, it's nice to be able to have another believer to be able to sit down and just let it out. And I never thought that would be the case. Like, I really didn't. I never, ever, ever thought that I would be overwhelmed, not with the amount of information, but with the content that my brain is soaking in every day. And then you do Rise Up and you're looking at nothing but the positive in life. So you are like, if I'm telling you, if I didn't have this show, I might have gone crazy at this moment. But long story short, I see this amazing Christian woman every 2 weeks. And her name is Tasha. And yesterday was my day. And do you know what I got to tell her? I got to tell her about the two brides story. You know that two brides story that we talked about? Being a husband like Adam or being a husband like Jesus? And I asked her, do therapists need therapists other than Jesus? We all need the counseling of the Holy Spirit, and we all need a relationship with Jesus, but do therapists need therapists? And I got to say, I think the story of the two brides as a revelation of how to be a good husband blew her mind. Now, I've showed her this show. She knows we do this. She may be watching right now. But it took me years to allow that wall to be broken down to go do that. And I wish I would have done it years ago. And the great thing about her is she's in line with me when it comes to Jesus. And I need that. And so these songs, these morning worship songs that we just heard, and like giving everything to God, it just puts such a smile on my face. And you know, for years now, I think my family expected me to be able to come home and turn it off. And I did my best. But I found it to be very difficult. So when we can't just turn it off, we've got to be able to let others help. And actually, by letting somebody else help, I've been able to even strengthen my relationship with Jesus. Believe it or not. Like, that's a one-on-one relationship. You would think that nobody else could nurture that relationship if they're not in the A-B conversation. But that's not true. You want to know why? Because Jesus uses other children of God, other brothers and sisters in Christ, to help you. So, I just wanted to share that with you. Bad Moon, thank you, man. Thank you. Again, I wish I would have done it years ago. I actually looked down on it for a very long time. Never again. Now, you do got to be careful. It's like going to a church. It's like listening to a pastor. You got to be careful. You got to make sure that it's right. But man, has it been helpful. And who knows? Maybe God put me in her life as well. Thank you, Katie. L. Brower, no, that will be next month. I'll know more about that next month, April. Eileen, we remember you have to be ready and careful. Amen. Thank you, God Chick. I'm glad I'm doing it too. Like I said, I never wanted any part of it. But man, has it been great. Christians helping Christians in their walk on earth and with Jesus. Really, I just wanted to share that with you this morning. I don't know why. I didn't even have that plan to share that with you really like that, but you guys are so close to me. And something has been revealed to me through all of this. And I kind of knew it was there, but I never took it seriously. Because I think maybe subconsciously I said, nah, you don't have that problem. You're not that guy. Come to find out, I am. And we'll talk about that today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we are so very appreciative of humbleness, humility, finally realizing something about ourselves, being able to look in the mirror and give it all to you. And admit that we have these lingering issues that need to be dealt with. Father, we're so thankful that you help us identify these lingering things that could be destroying us on the inside or destroying others around us. And Father, we thank you so very much for being able to give it to you so that you could take it from us and cleanse us. Father, we are so grateful for other brothers and sisters in the name of Christ out there willing to help, willing to listen, willing to go on a journey with us. Father, today we're going to talk about something that maybe all of us have inside. Maybe some of us have addressed this. And for those who have addressed this, Lord, please weigh it on their hearts to help others who still have this issue. Please be with us today. Guide us through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know how hard it is for an alpha male to admit vulnerability? Or an alpha female to admit vulnerability? But I always said that Jesus lives and dwells at our rock bottoms. That's where we find him. Well, he also lives within our vulnerabilities, if we can admit it. How hard is that? Carol and Al sending prayers. Jeremy, we went to a Christian counselor. It helped so much. And we've been married for 32 years in June. God bless you and Sabrina. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. He also resides in all of your vulnerabilities. Man, is that... I have never felt closer to Jesus than when I admit out loud, publicly, my vulnerabilities. I have never felt closer to Jesus than when I look into a mirror and say, I'm a liar. I'm prideful. That's hard to do for somebody. But if you can't do that, how do you expect God to answer your prayers? One way or the other. How do you expect to have a relationship with God if you cannot admit your own vulnerabilities, where your walls are easily broken down, and where you have plastered and pasted pride in place of the wall that's been crumbled? Well, ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to talk about something that is so bad, that lives in a lot of us and definitely has lived in me over these last few years. And it's so powerful, it brought down angels. Rise Up, episode 559. If this is strong enough to bring down angels, imagine what it will do to a human being. There are things in our lives that kill us and hold us down, and we may not even be aware that it exists inside of us. The best thing that we can do, whether you're sharing the video or whether you're sharing the message verbally with somebody, is help them understand how to identify this and other things, and how to admit your vulnerabilities. There is a feeling that was born inside of an angel. And that feeling, oh, I'm about to lose my screens again. I don't know what's going on with that, but it's okay. I still got this over here. So there was a feeling that was born inside of an angel. And that feeling that was born inside of an angel is still destroying people to this day. Kids, men, women, black, white, brown, tall, short, fat, skinny. It was the very thing that led Cain to take his brother's life. It all started and it all starts with a whisper. Now, remember that video that I showed you a couple weeks ago about the familiar spirits? Remember what I said that those familiar spirits do in your life? You can be sitting there with your wife on the couch watching TV. You on one side of the couch, her on another, feeling like you're miles apart. And the whisper comes, she doesn't love you. He thinks you're cheating on him. Why is she on her phone? Who's he talking to? Look what that person has. Look what you don't have. You could be so much better. It all started and continues to start today with a whisper. Then comes a comparison. And you still, and at this moment, you might think that I'm talking about pride, but I'm not. Starts with a whisper, then comes the comparison. Then comes a desire, a hidden secret desire burning deep inside your body to have something that someone else has. Share the video, folks. What are you waiting for? The question seems very, very simple. Why him and not me? Why her and not me? Why them and not us? But when that question went unanswered all the way back then, it turned into anger, which then turned into a premeditated plan, which then turned to destruction of self and life around yourself. That's what happens, folks. Like I said, it's a simple question. Why him and not me? And when you don't get an adequate answer to that question that makes you feel better, it turns into anger, which turns into a plan, which turns into destruction. Thank you, Meemaw. I appreciate that. This feeling that I'm talking about is a ticking time bomb that works in absolute silence on the inside. Now, that could happen for a week, could happen for a month, could be in there for years, metastasizing. Growing like a monster in our thoughts, in our glances, in our facial expressions, in our actions, in our words spoken in solitude and or behind someone else's back. The worst part is most people don't even realize that they're totally being controlled by it. Don't even know it. It's what brought down the highest and most powerful angel in God's army. And a third of the angels around him who were affected by this same feeling that metastasized into a monster. And it's been pulling people away from God ever since. This feeling of monstrosity has a name. And that name is envy. Which is a little bit different from pride. It's a little bit different from strife and jealousy. Jealousy is probably the closest thing to envy. But the pride of envy, think about it. Satan, Lucifer, created so wonderfully. Envied God's power. Envied God's prestige. Envied his chair. Wanted it. Why you and not me? Which infected not only himself, but a third of heaven's angels with him. Which ended up getting him cast out of heaven, like Adam and Eve, out of the Garden of Eden, shot down like a lightning bolt to never, ever, ever, ever be forgiven. Same envy. Cain and Abel. Jacob and Esau. King David. Look at that man's wife. I want that man's wife. Look how beautiful she is. I want that in my life. Envy is the name of this feeling. Envy is the name of this monster. Have you ever felt it inside? It's okay. Let us know in the live chat. It's okay. If you haven't, I would question whether if you're human or not. And if you have felt it, don't hide it. Don't ignore it. Bring it out. Let God cleanse it. Let God cleanse what the devil tried to plant inside of you. Don't let pride keep you in chains. Pride different than envy. Cousins, we might call them. If you want to be freed from this prison that's known as envy, or jealousy, you must admit that it has a hold on you. And you must bring it to Jesus today. Only then can you be freed from these chains and actually really and truly, honestly, from the deepest parts of your soul, be happy for other people. Now, I've got some confessions to make. And I'm not bringing them to you like a priest to bring them to God. I already brought them to God. So now I'm admitting them to you. And you know when it really comes out? When there's insult added to injury. Let me explain. In 2015, 16, 17, 18, all the way to 2021, it all happened by accident. I stood outside in my driveway with my phone. Angry at the world. And guess what happened? Viral. So viral, in fact, that there's only a few people on Rumble today that had more live viewers than I would have if I went live on my phone in a driveway. And I was prideful, and I was not really a man of God those years. Tried to be, but, you know. And I had millions and millions of people watching what I had to say. Now, I didn't really have a desire at that time to be famous or anything like that, but I did have a desire for people to hear what I had to say. Because I thought that everybody in the world should hear what I have to say. After 2021, when we got banned from everywhere, I had to come to this place called Rumble. It was before it even had live video. And there was no way that I could migrate a bunch of the people that would follow me to this channel because I was banned from everywhere. And I was the first person on Rumble that Rumble went to talk about help building this platform that other content creators would come here and help. Like, I have meetings with the executives at Rumble. And I have been scratching and clawing my way through navigating this platform as it grew, helping them understand things. And in turn, you know, I scratch their back, they scratch mine. They'll put me on the front page once in a while and this, that, and the other. In all these years, we've worked so hard on our production. We've worked so hard on our, you know, lineup. We've tried to build something that never existed before. We were pioneers. And I ended up watching all of these people come over to Rumble who never got banned from anywhere. And that made me mad. It made me mad that I got banned and they didn't, which made me upset to the point where I thought that they must be on the inside somehow, and I would get these irrational thoughts that these people are working with the deep state, because how else could they have avoided the Great Purge? And so I watched them come. I watched them bring their audiences. I watched them get favor, because Rumble obviously wants to grow, so they want more and more and more audiences. And I watch these people come and get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 100 times the audience that I had. And I got so mad. And then problems started happening on Rumble. Like, there's one right now. There's a technical problem right now where it's only showing that we have like a third of our audience that's normally here. And I think that's a tech issue. I think that everybody's pretty much here because it's happening all across Rumble, really. So that's insult to injury, right? And even as early as 2 days ago, when I was talking with some people about this, I was like down talking people like Tim Pool, people like Russell Brandt, people like Steven Crowder. I was down-talking them. I was mad that these people are getting special treatment over me. Like, I've been here helping build this place. These people have just migrated over here because, you know, a promise that Rumble made to them or something, and they're getting all this special treatment, and they're not even real conservatives like Tim Pool. And I found myself swearing about it. And I was talking to Drew and Will, other men of God, and I was dropping F-bombs. I was so mad, and I felt so disrespected that they just keep bringing in these people that are milquetoast Christians, milquetoast conservatives, and giving them everything that they want. Meanwhile, the people that helped, blood, sweat, and tears, are kind of left in the dust. And I got to tell you, I feel horrible. I feel horrible. I feel horrible that I envied these other people. I feel horrible that I envied something that they had that I didn't. Like, I'm some entitled person. I'm not entitled to anything. I've said it a million times. If this were to die tomorrow, I'd just go back and get the job that I had and let bygones be bygones. Not a big deal. But yet, here I let Satan in all this time. Not just now, it's been happening for 3 years. And I'm sitting here mad at these people, calling these people names, allowing myself to be pulled off of the narrow path. And then I realized that's exactly it. You're not meant to be on the wide road. You spend every day talking about getting away from the wide road and getting away from the world. And here you are walking this narrow path on this very small outreach compared to others. And it's exactly where I'm supposed to be. So I don't feel bad really about those other people because I was talking behind their backs. I was letting envy allow me to secretly hate these people and talk behind their backs. So what I felt bad about was disappointing my Father in heaven. But what makes me happy is growth. That's what makes me happy. Growth. The fact that I was able to let down that hateful wall enough to let God's light shine in and say, "My son, what are you doing?" What are you doing? And it's been bothering me for years. It's been bothering me since 2021. 4 years I let this beast grow in me and metastasize into something where I'm trying to tear down others around me, just like Lucifer. So, Lord and Heavenly Father, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that I allowed envy to grow in me for years without addressing it. Please forgive me. And I'm sorry to all of you. I'm sorry I allowed myself to do this show every day and have that inside, not even really realizing it, to be honest with you. I knew it was there because I knew that it bothered me, but I didn't know it was to the level that it was. So anyway, envy, jealousy, strife, anger. Which brings me to the verse of the day today. Again, I'm having some issues with my technical stuff here, so if I lose a screen, I might have to look over here, because I have other screens. Proverbs 14:30. Oh, Dion. Dion, I definitely don't deserve that. Jeremy, you make me smile every morning. Thank you so very much. Wow. Thank you. I appreciate you. Proverbs 14:30. Let's go to it now. Proverbs 14:30 says, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Wow. Envy makes the bones rot. Dying from the inside out. I don't want to rot from the inside out because of something that I can give to Jesus and something that I can control. Jen, I think you do that for all of us. You make us smile. When you cry, we cry. We are a family of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ray says, if anyone wants a good belly laugh, watch Will's show from yesterday. Well, I didn't get to watch it, so maybe I'll have to. But you know, folks, I want you to think about this. What do you envy today? Is there anything that you envy? Do you envy somebody else's marriage? Do you envy somebody else's position at your job, your place of work? Do you envy people in your church because they know more about the Bible or they're more theologically sound than you are? Are you envious of your neighbor because they have a pool and you don't? Because they have a better truck or a better house or a better car? Are you envious of another content creator like I was? Not anymore. I'm done with that. What are you envious of? Admit it. Out loud. In public. Right now. If there's anything, admit it right now. CQ said, I am free from envy now. Thank God. TD Hodges says, I don't envy others. I know they carry burdens I do not see. Amen. Amen. People who seem to have a deeper, intimate relationship with God. Don't be mad. Ask them how they got that, said Kelly. Shop Girl said, I would say sometimes. JV said, I have nobody to lean on. Well, I know that feeling, and I know it's kind of cliche, but you have everybody here. There's 700, 600 and something people here that you have to lean on. That's a lot of people. Eileen said, I sometimes envy relationships. There you go. There you go. Even if you envy status, even if you are upset because somebody else got a promotion that you should have gotten by the numbers, it's not always material things. Wes said, Jeremy, I have to be honest. Out of all the other truthers I've listened to, you're the only one that hasn't let me down or made me question their motives at one time or another. Really? Wow, thank you. Thank you. Sharon says, not free yet from envy. God, help me. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, remember that? Remember that gentleman that we watched yesterday and everybody wanted to know his name? Well, his name on YouTube anyway is Richard Lorenzo Jr. And I think he's got a knack for street evangelism. And once in a while, I get hooked on somebody and I want to just watch everything that they do. So I'm going to play another video of him today. Kat said, use where needed, sending love to you guys, you and the LFA family, $100 donation. Thank you. Thank you so much to both you people who donated. It's not asked for during this show for sure, but truly, truly kind and appreciated. Let's go to this video now. Tell you, I got to get this tech issue fixed because this is difficult. Give me one second here, folks. Producer Eli can't do much when it comes to this right here because this is a problem that I'm having locally in the studio. So, all right, here we go. Let's roll it.
Bro, what are we doing here on this planet?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question. To be honest, right now, I don't really know.
Like, isn't that a crazy question, though?
Yeah.
That nobody ever really asks or thinks about? Like, what the heck are we doing here? What is all this? We go to college. We go to work. What is this? Like, have you ever thought about that? Like,
Not recently. I really haven't. I've been kind of just trying to focus on, you know, school and trying to do as best as I can in the moment, but not like long term.
Isn't it crazy how like we do these things, right? Like school, which is good. I'm not saying it's wrong. Like you focusing on, how old are you, like 18, 19?
19.
Okay, so like you're young, you're just trying to be successful, right? Mm-hmm. But then eventually you acquire that success, which I believe you will. You're gonna acquire, you're gonna graduate, do great things. But then that question will still like be, you know, what's the purpose of life? What are we doing here? Now my next question is, where do we go when we die? Is that it? Like,
I personally think that it's just like, you know, it just ends. Like, I don't think that there's anything afterward. Just because, like, I don't know. Like, there's no way for me to know until I get to that point, and then it's...
You've never experienced it.
Yeah.
Like, you ever had a dream, and then the dream came to, like, it actually happened, like, in real life?
Yeah.
Like you had a dream, and then, like, maybe a day or two later, a week later, it happened? Like, what realm were you in to be able to have this dream, and then it happened? Like, because you weren't in the physical realm. So where were you?
I don't know.
Because it was about the future. So it wasn't about something that you already went through. It was about the future. Yeah. So it can't just be your subconscious. Like, how did your... Because if it was your subconscious, how did your subconscious know the future? Did it just predict it? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's deep, bro. Like, there has to be some type of spiritual aspect to life. You know how people have encounters with ghosts, angels, demons, whatever they want to call it. And there's so many different religions, right? Like, which way is the way, right?
Yeah. It's so hard to tell because there's just so many, like, different things out there and, like, so many different, like, ways to think about it that it's so hard to tell, like, what's the right one, what's the wrong one.
Straight up, you're right, bro. You're right. So I studied a bunch of religions. I actually got deep into religious practices later in my 20s. I went to UCF back in 08. Graduated, military, traveled the world, did great things. Air traffic control, made a lot of money, houses, everything. Had success. But then I was empty with, like, the question, what's the purpose of life? Started getting into spiritual practices, bro. I was raised Catholic, studied Islam, studied Buddhism, did it for years overseas, New Age, crystals, all that stuff. But then I had an actual supernatural encounter with God in my apartment all alone. I wasn't in a religious building. I wasn't, like, with a religious leader. I had a supernatural encounter with the highest power, sober, bro. I wasn't on drugs or anything. And I had a disease that's incurable. You can look it up right now. It's called LPR, silent reflux. Incurable. I have to take medicine for the rest of my life that would cause a lot of issues in the future. Was supernaturally healed. And the guy that I met is Jesus. And I never thought it was Jesus, bro. I thought Jesus was fake. Started looking into the historical proof of the Bible because I didn't think it was authentic. Started realizing it's actually backed by science. They found scrolls that
sure
dated
is.
Back before Jesus even came
sure
from
is.
The Old Testament. And then even New Testament scrolls that dated about 30 years after Christ. So I started studying the archaeological, scientific, and historical proof of the authenticity of the Bible.
Amen.
I started seeing that, whoa, how did I never know this? And then I actually encountered tangibly Jesus and continued to encounter him with divine miracles and super coincidental things that were happening in my life. So I just want to let you know, bro, he is real. Like, again, you're not going to believe until you encounter him. That's real. I agree with you because there's a lot of people who follow Jesus or whatever their religion is, but never encountered him. So really, they don't believe. You see what I'm saying? Like, you got, if you believe in Jesus, because he's the only true living God, the Bible says, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way, bro. It's not religion. It's not a building. It's not a pastor. Even though a building's cool, there's AC. A pastor's cool, a religious leader, right? But that's not a relationship with God. A relationship with God is when you encounter him yourself. What's your name?
Connor.
Connor, he wants to meet you. He wants to have an encounter with you. This is the gospel, the good news. So it's very simple, bro. You've been separated from God because of sin. Have you ever lied before?
I mean, yeah, of course.
So that's one sin, right? Have you ever stolen as a kid?
I mean,
cookies out of the cookie jar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We've all stolen, lied. So one sin, bro, separates you from God for eternity, right? So then we all fall short, right? Mm-hmm. So then how do we come back into relationship with a perfect, holy, righteous God? It's through the blood of someone who was perfect. That's Jesus. Jesus is the physical manifestation of God in this realm that we can understand. You have a gift, bro. You said you had dreams where it came to pass in the future. There's gifts that God has given everyone that he never takes away. People are very gifted, and what are you using it for, right? Some people use those gifts for the wrong things, the right things. The only way that's, you know, right is Jesus. I know this now. I know that you don't know that yet. But the gospel is that he died on that cross for your sins. His blood that was shed, the blood of a perfect human, wipes away all your sins from the past, the present, and the future when you put your trust in him. And that's the one thing a lot of people don't do. They believe in their mind, but they don't trust in him. That's faith, right? Mm-hmm. You're saved by grace, which means it's unmerited. You don't deserve it. But it's through your faith. That he died on that cross, shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and he rose from the dead on the third day because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Bro, he overcame death, bro. Adam and Eve fell, allowed death into the world. God never intended for any of this. We were never supposed to have an expiration date in our body. We were never supposed to be blinded by sin. Like, bro, people chase, this is logic, people chase emptiness. Money that can't get them, that can never fulfill them. Sex that can never fulfill them, right? Drugs, like all these things that I did. But when I encountered Jesus, bro, in my apartment all alone, I was about to be a dual-inducted warlock. I went to Haiti to do voodoo, bro. I did voodoo in Haiti, New Orleans, Santeria, shamanism. Bro, I was getting deep. I was moving hundreds of pounds of weed. I was making money. But I encountered Jesus in that state of just sin, bro. He wiped my sins, and I got delivered, bro. Got healed of a disease, gave everything up, have a wife and kids now, all that. And now I do this to just preach the gospel, the good news. He loves you, bro. He wants a relationship with you. If you believe this news and you repent and turn away from following sin, the Holy Spirit will fill you and you'll experience the tangible presence of God, bro. A supernatural impartation of God's Spirit. You'll know, bro. I don't follow God because I just, maybe he's real. I encountered him and I continue to encounter like miracles. Like, bro, think about the wind. If the wind was hitting that tree right there, how would you know it's actual wind? Because you would see the tree moving. But you don't see the wind. Mm-hmm. You can feel the wind. You can see its effects. But you don't see the actual wind. That's how God is. We don't see him physically, but we can see his effects when we seek him. If you seek him, bro, I was on the island of Crete in Greece, all alone, in 2016. And I said, higher power, whoever you are, show me. I was empty. All my friends are in the club getting drunk, messing with foreign girls. And I'm just empty, like, gotcha. And I heard a voice say, I'm going to show you now. He started showing me, bro, in my life, undeniable proof. Undeniable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I stopped it there. It's almost over anyway, but I stopped it there because I have a similar testimony. In 2014, I was in the music business and I had a career at the same time. And my music, maybe it was 2013. I think it was 2013, 2014. My music career was taking off. I was in Vegas. And I was on this rooftop VIP party. And I was with a bunch of celebrities. You know the guy, the Afro Man? Remember the one that made the song, Cause I Got High, and then made it the Hunter Biden song, Cause Hunter Got High? I was up there with him and a whole bunch of other people. And I had two bourbons in my hand. I was double-fisting bourbons. And everybody was having a good time. And everybody was fornicating. Not me, I was married. But I wasn't even partying, really. I was just by myself drinking. And I was in the corner of this roof. And I remember saying to God, God, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want this anymore. I don't want this life. I don't even want it to go further. I don't want to get any money out of it. I don't want to get famous out of it. I don't want this. I made up my mind right there. I'm done. On the plane ride home, I told the guys that were with me, my partners in all of this, I said, I'm done. They're like, what? We just had our biggest show ever. I said, too bad. I'm done. I'm missing my kids' lives. I wasn't there for my son's first time that he rode a bike. Year and a half later, I'm on my journey with Jesus. It's incredible how things work out. It really, really is. Where are we at here? Wow, okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are at 9 o'clock. Well, my time, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That means Sean Farish comes up next here on Live from America TV. Do me a favor. If you haven't hit the thumbs up button, please do so. And if you want to stick around for Sean Farish's show, please do so. God bless you all. And remember, if you find it, don't hide it. Bring it to the forefront and get rid of it. I'll see you at 11 o'clock, guys. Bye-bye. Only Jesus. Only Jesus.